Hello, welcome to episode 256 of Sprague is a Geek. I'm Bat.
I'm Hammer.
And this is our Week in Geek. This week we bring you our review of Black Panther because we saw something in the movie theaters.
I know. Yay. For a change.
A review of 1010. You're going to talk about a purchase you made.
I did. I will. Not right now, though, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to die.
You will notice a theme, by the way.
I was just about to say the same thing. I'm always fucking dialing this damn thing.
We really got to stop. We're going to get like, they're gonna be like, we actually can tell that he was actually getting better when he thought he was getting worse by the sounds of his coughs.
I was getting better.
You better get better. You got it next week, man. So, starting off.
So we're going to get to the spoiler-filled or spoiler-free review of Black Panther. It's the origin story of Black Panther. It's a Marvel movie. The end.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, it's actually a really good spoiler-free version of it. Do you want to go with what you liked, what you didn't like about it?
Really? I really like Chadwick Boseman. Like, I really like that dude.
I'm right there with you on that, man.
I did like the color that was used.
Yeah.
But I also did not like the lack of color that was used. There's
a few
one
scenes
scene in
really
particular
dark,
that's really dark. The music was catchy and
Kendrick Lamar, man.
I don't know. Like, if Prince was still alive, would he do the soundtrack?
I would hope so. Be a lot of Purple Rain in there. There's a shit ton of purple everywhere.
I mean, it'd be Purple Rain. Yeah. Again, there's some CGI issues, but not as many as there have been.
Rhinos?
No. There's a scene where they pull back where they're fighting.
Oh.
And
you can tell they're fighting on a green screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No. The when they're going through the ritual and they pull back and they zoom up.
Oh, okay.
And you can see it's copy and pasted
people. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm probably the only person that actually noticed it anymore, so, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Just don't run my movies by me, you'll be fine. Fucking Star Wars and that stupid fucking Jedi. God.
No hot button today.
Michael B. Jordan is a good villain, almost solves Marvel's villain problem, but doesn't quite. Hope that's not a spoiler.
Hit the mark? No, that's fine. I mean, you're just talking about his performance, so. Or not his performance, but more character writing. But.
Yeah. I wish I could remember her name, but I really, really liked T'Challa's sister. I can't remember her name.
She was really good.
I did like the. Fuck. The army. His army.
Yeah.
I can't think of their names either, unfortunately.
The women in the red getups?
Yes.
Yeah, like they're basically kind of like the Royal Guard.
I wanted more from Andy Serkis.
I did too.
And so that was disappointing, but the the really in-depth racial and political and geopolitical aspects of this movie are what set it apart from other Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And one thing that we both noticed was the comedy is not as blatant and over your head.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of like that, especially
like they did
the way Solo's looking.
Yeah. It didn't look like someone was ordered to punch up the script, essentially.
Yep. That's kind of how I feel was, yeah. I'm going to say see it because it's a Marvel movie. I liked it. I think it's probably their second or third best origin movie by far.
To your point again, it's an origin movie, knowing that going in.
And it made a shit ton of money.
I made a fuck ton of money. I love Chadwick Boseman.
Between $218 and $222 million.
Good God.
Yeah.
I love Chadwick. Like, good, that guy, again, I could read a cereal box and I'd be excited. I love the colors when you can see them. Like you said, there's one scene in particular, but there's a few scenes just in general where I wanted them to turn up the brightness. And there's one scene, particularly in the beginning, where it's just so hard to see. I don't know what the hell's going on. And I understand there's a difference between you want to show Black Panther.
And pull back.
We talk about this all the time. Fight scenes, pull back, let us see what happens.
I don't know if that's an us thing.
I think it might be a generational thing, because I feel like quick cuts and close-ups and stuff are very much this generation.
I think that's really why I like lightsaber battles, is because typically you have to show the entire person.
Unless it's like 3 and 2.
3 and 2 even showed the entire person.
They do, but they do a lot of these light switch rave kind of moments, which I really don't like.
But
that's getting to another thing. Like there are moments,
yeah, as opposed to an entire battle where it feels like the camera's right there, up
in your face. Again, I that scene really threw me out because it was right in the beginning, but I had no idea what the hell was going on because it was so dark that
You saw the movie before I did.
I did.
And that was one of the things that you had said. You were like, oh, it's kind of dark.
Like, it upset
me. And as soon as that, I was like, oh, huh.
And it goes on for a lot longer, in my opinion, than it should. Like, you can portray darkness, like, with a moonlight kind of thing. Like, you can do ways to make it show
right. And
still show the action. Acting is really good. Michael B. Jordan, to me, was a miss. I feel like he had some good moments, but overall, I love the dude, and I don't feel like it was portrayed right. I think it's just my taste, though. It was particularly the accent that kind of messed with me a bit. Again, the color is gorgeous. Really, like, the costume design, everything like this, I really love how they did Wakanda. I feel like they approached it a lot better than when they try to do Thor and they try to portray Asgard. Wakanda feels like a living place. Like, it really does. And I feel like it feels like a diverse place that has a lot of different, you know, geography to it. It handles quite a few serious and very pressing and current topics, and I think in a very good way.
Mm-hmm.
It does it respectfully, and to your point, yeah, it doesn't. The times it does laugh, it almost feels weird because I'm like, oh wow, I don't need to laugh. I'm in a pretty good movie wise. Overall, again, I left the movie kind of feeling a little. It was okay, but I'm getting to that point where I feel like I might have Marvel burnout. It's far from bad. Like, there are definitely way worse movies out there. It is a good movie, but it is a Marvel movie. You've seen a lot of these things happen before. I just feel like this one, you're right, has done it better. But I did do a lot of things differently. We'll get into the spoiler-filled ones.
The more I go back to, like, Logan, the more I like it. Because it's not a superhero movie. It's a dude
who happens to have superpowers.
Which I think
this one actually handles it.
I think Logan is going to age really well.
Yeah.
Where I don't know how well the Marvel movies are going to age.
I feel like this one will be a good time capsule of the stuff we're going through in a good way.
I mean, hopefully in 30 or 40 years, they're like, really?
Yeah, I would really love that. But go see it because it's a Marvel movie. It's a spectacle just in general. Probably buy your seats ahead of time because we tried going and it was sold out in a lot of theaters.
And That was crazy.
The best thing I'll say about... How about this? My favorite thing about Black Panther 1 is that I cannot wait for Black Panther 2 because now all the setup is done. Wakanda's in place. All this stuff like that. I can't wait to see what they do with the characters. I think it'll be a good, strong second showing. And it seems like it's garnering a hell of a lot of good feedback. Mm-hmm. So,
it is.
Bravo on that.
Yeah, no, I liked it. You liked it enough.
Yeah.
We will say go see it in the theaters. Obviously, it's a Marvel movie. Stay through the very end of the credits or two credit scenes. All right, and we'll come back a little bit later with our spoiler-filled review. Typically on the show, we do our best to stay away from politics. Every once in a while, politics kicks us in the nuts. So, without getting into too much detail, we're both really saddened over what happened in Florida on Valentine's Day. I think that would be a really interesting podcast to do, is to talk about what the fuck options we have.
Yeah.
But
kind of saying the things that we almost take for norm now, and kind of saying that's the what the fuck for me.
It should never be a norm.
Should not be.
It should.
But yes. I actually didn't know about it until, honestly, a day or two later, but I kind of went into shutdown for a couple reasons, so I was kind of out of it for a while until I came back, and then I was like, oh, God. And my first thoughts, and I'm guilty of this thing, another one was my first thoughts, which is terrible. I know it's terrible, but that's...
I mean, it kind of is. Like, oh, we're doing this again? As opposed to, I remember what happened during Columbine.
Yeah.
Of, like, they were bringing counselors into schools that, just any school they were bringing counselors into.
Yeah.
And they only killed 12 in that.
Which sounds,
and there were two of them.
Yeah.
And this one, one dude killed 17.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking. Like, you should be 100% safe in a school.
Yeah.
And in a church. And in a movie theater. And you're not. And that's really, really depressing.
It's hard because I know you and a bunch of your friends have children. And I'm going to have children, not anytime right now, but the idea is I'm going to have children, and then the idea of thinking about that terrifies the fuck out of me. So, I mean, yeah, it's just, maybe do one on that. That'll be great. Not really great.
Yeah, it won't be great.
No.
But it'll be nice to at least have a
venting.
A conversation. There's really no good segue, so we're just going to move past and try and do the rest of the show as we normally do. This week we had a suggestion from our buddy Mando, who wanted us to watch The Adventures of Tintin on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3D animated movie.
Spielberg movie?
Spielberg of a comic strip character.
Yeah. He was English? Was it an English comic strip character?
I think so.
I feel like it.
I never really read it. I didn't like it. In this one, he's trying to find three ships.
Yeah.
Because the three ships, he's trying to find a ship.
Yeah.
And then he realizes there are three ships. The three ships contain little scrolls that will lead him to Nathan Drake's treasure.
You didn't catch that. That's what we call irony.
Oh my goodness. Sir Francis Drake's treasure.
That's right. You got to be very, very polite in these terms. So, again, what happens is Indy then goes on the adventure, takes his friends with him. It's great. I compared it more to Indy than to, you know, Uncle Drake.
I mean, it's
the same damn thing.
He's a Gary Stu, whatever it is.
Gary Stu is adorable. I don't know if I didn't like this movie. I got bored. It's not bad looking.
It's definitely not bad looking.
It's better than looking than Polar Express, which was creepy to me. I felt like it was the same group that did it.
I think it was.
Except for instead of Robert Zemeckis, this was, you know, Steven Spielberg. And it felt
but they're the same. I think it's the same company.
Yeah. I felt like this was basically like I was watching an Indiana Jones movie where they have those crazy on fight scenes. Or like those little wacky little hijinks and stuff like that. But the wacky hijinks never ended.
Well, see, this is why this really felt like an Uncharted.
Oh, okay. It was just movie like to a me. Long ride.
Because, you know, towards the end of the movie, they're going through this city chasing after a bird. They're destroying the entire city. There's tanks flowing down the river or the road.
Yeah.
Somehow they make it, and I'm like, this is Uncharted. Like, I feel that I've literally played this level before.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. But I didn't find myself engaged with the movie.
Yeah.
It was there. I'm like, huh, wonder what's happening on Twitter. Huh, okay.
Yeah, I played Persona while I was watching it. I don't know if it's because it didn't play on my nostalgia of the character, and I feel like this almost relied on your nostalgia for the character, but I wasn't invested in him.
But like,
I didn't care.
As a kid's animated movie, you have to think that's
what the audience
the demographic
was.
Yeah, like there's no nostalgia there.
No, like I didn't know who Tintin was. I just knew it was a comic strip character or a book. I actually didn't know if it was a comic strip or book until you mentioned it. But I just got bored. I didn't hate it. I just got bored. Which for all the stuff that was going on, that's kind of sad, I guess.
I mean, it was a really pretty movie.
It was,
and it wasn't bad. Like it wasn't badly done.
No.
It just was like, okay.
It never hooked me.
I can't tell you any of the characters' names. Tintin and
Snowy,
which was his dog.
Yeah.
And Drake, because Drake is, you know, the main, it's his ships. It's the only reason I remember Drake, because
Wait, is his name really Drake?
Sir Francis Drake. They were going after Sir Francis Drake's
I thought that ship. Was a joke about Uncharted, because I actually really don't remember the guy's name. I thought it was something else. I don't think it was Drake.
See, I
might have been wrong.
I thought it was Drake, so...
I might be wrong. I don't remember. To your point, that's a perfect example. I have no idea. But yeah, again, you're right. It wasn't pretty. It was pretty. There was nothing wrong about it being produced. It just, I don't think it ever hooked me from the beginning of the movie. And maybe it's just because it was dropped in there. I don't know. But it just, I wasn't invested in the character. I didn't really care about the adventures. So it just, Tintin just didn't really click for me. Which makes sense, because I did try to watch it one time before and I got bored. I think I turned it off for 5 minutes or something. So this time, luckily, I had my Vita with me and I was happy.
I mean, I...
Are you trying to look for the name of it?
Yeah, I am. I didn't hate it, you know?
Yeah.
It made a lot of money.
Did it really? Tintin? I thought you were still talking about Black Panther.
$374 million.
I don't think that's a lot of money for this, though. That's probably for the Lifetime movie.
Yeah. But, I mean, the budget's $135, that's...
Marketing is about, probably usually about half the cost of the movie, so... Made enough, okay. I guess. anything else you want to say about Tintin before we move on? Still looking for the name.
I am. I mean, maybe it's not in there. Maybe I made it up because...
I thought you were making a joke because I was like, oh, isn't that the name of the guy from Uncharted?
Yes. Oh, Sir Francis Haddock.
There we go.
Damn it.
It's okay.
Yeah. So, like, I guess it's so infected my brain that I made it Sir Francis Drake.
I'm going to say skip it for me.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up, but it's one of those of like, you're not missing anything either way.
I gave it a thumbs down, but that's just because I didn't like it. I don't hate it, to your point. I just didn't like it, and I can't recommend others to go see it, I guess.
Totally. Either way, I'm...
Yeah.
I could go... I'm bisexual on this. I can go either way. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Flip-flop.
All right. So, for this week's movie review, even though we're not going to have a show next week... Yes. Because I'm going to be in Disneyland.
Are you getting back on Friday, though?
Nope.
Okay. Yes. He's going to go to Disneyland.
So, there will not be a show...
It's not my mistake this time.
Well...
This time.
Depending on when this one posts. Because I'll be on vacation, so I won't even be able to remind you that it's there.
God damn it.
Thank you, Christy, by the way.
Yes, thank you very much. Happy birthday. It came on your birthday.
So,
there you go.
So, I've suggested for us to watch this week.
I like have to prepare yourself for this.
On HBO Go.
Yes.
50 Shades Darker.
Woo!
Since the other one came out. Thank God Black Panther came out the same weekend.
Yeah.
Fucking destroy it.
Oh, did it come out this weekend?
Or did it come out the weekend after? It came out after? Before. Yeah.
I think it came out before, yeah. I can't wait to see, you know, the exciting stories and where they go from there. I mean, spoilers, you got a little bit of a head start on this one, which is fine, because you're going to be in Disneyland. And...
So if you have anything else to watch on HBO Go, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, let us know at BatHammerGmail.com, BatHammer on Twitter, Spreken Geek on Facebook. You can reach me. I'm at Tara Skippy.
I'm at Kren Kalis, and I don't know.
Do you want to switch it up?
Yeah, I do. I want to switch it up. I have a Switch now. I was joking with you about this. You
seem like I don't know how this happened. Well, even. I woke up one day and it was there, and I was like, huh.
I literally was like, well, I have points at work. We have like a point system. You can earn it from recognition and stuff like that. I'm like, well, I don't know. I was going to buy a KitchenAid mixer and then ended up buying a Switch because I was like, well, that makes sense. I don't need another kitchen equipment right now. That's the reason why we didn't. We have our blender, which has like blades on it.
Okay. Because I'm like, hey, mixers are pretty badass.
They're badass. But one is I don't have the room for it and nor do I really need
it. You don't. That kitchen is really small.
It is. I kind of look forward to having a bigger kitchen wherever we go. But anyway, so I got a Switch because I talked about it, and I was like, well, there's enough games on there I can see it being fun. One, I got the system. The system's pretty. It's light. It's handled. The only thing I haven't done is I haven't really tried playing it a lot off the battery. Nice system. The only problem with that is there's not a lot of demos out there, and because it doesn't come with the game, there's no pack-ins right now. It's kind of like, oh, it's great. I got the system. Got it set up.
It's just sitting there.
Yeah, it was just sitting there for a while. So I signed up for a GameFly account. I'm gonna trade. I'm gonna rent a bunch of games to see. We tried 1-2 Switch, which is basically Jack. You ever played the You Don't Know Jack games?
Yes.
And WarioWare. Imagine like a mix between those two. It's great for like one off like people off against each other kind of things. But I'm not gonna buy that one. We played Mario Odyssey, which, goddamn, that game is fun.
Is there Mario Kart Switch yet?
There is Mario. Yeah, it's Mario Kart 8, just redone. It's basically it's the updated all the DLC version of the Wii U one.
Yeah, so there isn't Mario Kart for Switch yet.
There's not an original one, no. But yeah, like on my queue, there's a couple of the games I've got, but that I've got queued up right now. But I will say that Mario Odyssey is, man, the fucking Mario games are just fun,
right?
Like, just there's dumb fun. I'm not going to pick up the Zelda just because I played it on Wii U. Though if you have not played it, I can tell you already now that game's worth it on there because it's fun. It's basically Skyrim and stuff. But I'm really curious to see what they do for their, you know, year service that starts up in, I think, September. We talked about
September, October, yeah.
A couple other stuff on it. But it's a cool system, but you're right. When you look at it, it's just one of those, there's not a ton on it, and it's not, everything's not accessible. The problem about Switch games is they don't readily go on sale all the time. So if you see one on deal, like I bought Mario Odyssey because it was $48, which is ridiculously cheap for a Nintendo first party game. The one thing I will say is that I really love the damn convenience, the idea of being able to play on the TV or
on the toilet
literally has happened already, or like sitting on the couch watching a movie. This last time I've also, by the way, I've gotten more use out of my Vita lately because I've been learning to do I've been playing with the remote feature. Literally, Jackie and I were just sitting there watching. We're watching a movie, and I was like, hey, you want to watch something? Just kind of relax. Something mm-hmm. dumb to put on the background that we've seen a bunch of times. Just to mind them about it.
Right.
I was like, well, I kind of want to play my game. She's like, okay. I'm like, do you want to play Mario? And she's like, no, I want to watch something. I was like, do you want to play the Mario on this, on like, you know, in the hand? And she's like, literally, there's just the two of us that we were cuddled up, like back-to-back kind of thing, playing games, watching stuff. And it was the most peaceful thing in the world. I love that. That's what I wanted. I love that idea of being able to literally just pop it and play kind of thing. We've done that a bunch of times already. So that is fantastic about the Switch. Other than that, I'm like, I'll have to play other games to let you know. I think the next one's up, if I can get it, is Bayonetta. But you've played Bayonetta before.
Yeah, it's hack and slash.
I do actually also have the Mario versus Rabbids community, which is basically XCOM with Mario. I really want to play that just because that sounds fucking ridiculous. But if you have any Switch suggestions, by all means, send them my way, because there's not a ton. There's a lot of games, but there's not a ton of really good games. I don't
think anybody we know has a Switch.
I don't think so either. But I can tell you, if they just remake most of the Wii U games and put it on there, I'm okay with it, because I really like the system. It feels good. Like, and it's really user-friendly. The only problem is just, it sucks because I know games won't be on sale as much.
I mean, you can check Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Literally, I'm just like just checking to see. I'm like, I know Mario Odyssey I'm going to buy because it's a Mario game. And by the way, there's so many fucking moons. If you're a collection person, you are going to hate yourself.
That's why they do it.
You know how many there are in that game?
999.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
And how many per level?
You don't want to know.
Like 3.
And then you have to come back to the levels kind of Metroidvania style because you get other powers and shit right, like that.
Of course.
But yeah, it's pretty. We got to the little Mexico town, which is kind of adorable because it involves you running around with, like, you know, a sombrero and stuff. Stupid. I love it.
It sounds like Guacamelee.
I love it. But yeah, that's about the only thing else that really happened. There's been no real news.
Not that I've seen. Not enough that we care about.
No.
All right, so we're going to get to this week's pod question, which was brought to you by me, and I wanted to know, what was the last CD that you recall purchasing? As you remember, we talked about Best Buy is getting rid of their CDs, so that kind of prompted this conversation. Since we had a very late show, we had an answer from our buddy TK, and he went with, he said he thinks he bought a Bad Religion CD about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was new or used.
But still, Bad Religion's a good choice.
No, it's not.
I love Bad Religion.
No.
That's fine, you can be wrong. It's okay, buddy.
As you get older in age, you like a fine wine.
No.
What about you?
Good stuff. So mine's a cheat, but I went to go see this last year, one of my bucket list items actually was seeing this guy named Ludovico Einaudi, which was like, he's an Italian pianist. Ooh. And he's like one of the most world renowned ones. Literally, there's a video of him on a stage floating through the Arctic Circle because he's trying to do something to raise awareness for global warming and stuff like that. The guy is.
But it's not a circle, it's flat.
Shh. Shut the fuck up. But yes, I love this dude. I like it. Seriously, seeing him in person was one of my bucket list items. So when I went there, naturally, I bought his CDs because I've always listened to the guy. Like, I've pirated his CDs a bunch of times. I've also shared his CDs. I've also bought his CDs, and I've listened to him endlessly on Spotify. So I was like, let me throw more money at you because genuinely, I respect you as an artist. But I got like four of his CDs from that guy because they're that near cheap. Because they're like 15. Well, they're like $15, but for his, that's pretty cheap. Before that, though, I think it might have been close to a decade. No, I lied. Before that, it was about 2 years.
It's a big difference.
And again, I went to a show. I went to show a small guy for the first time, and I was actually mesmerized by him to the point I got a CD. Name was Jason Weebly. Weird dude, plays an accordion, does very much vaudevillian. Like Romani kind of style. Like almost gypsy kind of feeling music. Okay. Like it's like traveling music, man. But again, the only reason I bought his CDs is because I went to a show. So.
Huh. Okay.
What about you?
I bought a Rammstein CD about 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, you did. Cause I was with you. Goddamn cheat. What before that though?
Before that, the last one that comes to mind now, there might've been something before that, but was, I bought a Blue October CD at one of their shows because they were doing a signing.
Okay.
And so I got the CD signed by the band and everything. But you had to buy the CD while you were there. And I was like,
well, yeah, makes sense.
I would be interested to find out if their cut is the same from CD as it is digital sales.
I actually would be curious to see that.
Or, like, do they get more from CD or more from digital? Because the bands I listen to, I would love to support.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to go to shows. So if they make money, more money off of digital, I may make that transition faster to be like, well, here, I'll give you more money to tour more, to make more music, blah, blah, blah. Or if they get more money from CDs, then buy CDs.
I think it makes sense supporting the artist-wise, because that's the main reason I buy those things. Is I literally, again, most of the things I bought is at shows to support the artist. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it, like if I go into a store or something like that, let's say like Ken. Went to go see Ken at, like, Drawn to Comics. If I buy a comic book, I literally ask them sometimes that if it's a smaller store, saying, what is better for you? I have cash or card. What works better for you? Because sometimes they get extra fees from cards. Sometimes they don't. But whatever I can do to make the money get to the artist faster or get more of the money to the artist, that's I'm all about that.
Right. And, it, I mean, it helps.
Yeah. You know, I would be curious about that.
It would... Not enough to do the research on it, though.
No, God forbid that. I mean, give me a job for that. For next week's pod question, because you are going to Disneyland, and I love talking about all things Disneyland, and also about my favorite things is food, so I want to know, what is your favorite food item? Can be drink, because I have a feeling I think I knew it. But food or drink item that you can buy in Disneyland, not on Disney. So Disneyland, Disney World, but it has to be in the park. Go ahead.
Well, then that takes churros off.
No churros are in the park.
You can buy them outside of the park.
Oh.
You can buy them at downtown Disney.
As long as it also is in the inside the park, that's fine.
But it's not inside the park.
You can buy them inside. You can buy churros inside the park. Can you not buy them in the park? Or am
you
I
buy
just...
them outside of the park.
Yeah, no, but inside or outside the park is what I was saying. You're right. I'm
okay.
Because that's you're right. It's a stupid rule. Favorite Disney land or world food item or drink item.
Now, this may change because apparently they have ice cream nachos and I've never had them before. They are the waffle cones, right?
Yeah.
Crumbled up into like nacho chips, topped with ice cream and chocolate syrup and nuts and whipped, like.
I look like a person who just got kissed for the first time. I'm like, this is real.
I need to make sure that it exists, because apparently it does, and if it does, I'm fucking getting my fat ass over there and getting one of those. Because I went through, I think, like 13 churros the last time I went to Disneyland.
I know what I ate.
P.S. There's a ice cream churro sandwich that you can get. Don't do it. what it is it's two circular churros.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think it's $10 as opposed to, because they're like $4. Yeah. So I think it's like $10, but there's two circular churros you can get. And you can get ice cream, but they put it in a cup and give you the cup. So you have to take the cup and put your ice cream from your cup.
Or you just buy like a churro and then get a thing of ice cream and do it that way.
Well, I mean, you could dip it.
Yeah.
But like, I kind of expect it to come
pre-assembled. Like, you should just
unassemble
the
Why don't
car.
You go and just here?
Like, by the way, if you
don't make me do the work.
You've been to Trader Sam's, right?
No.
I know you have Renault with this. So I don't with you guys, so I don't know if that'll work as well. But if you go to Trader Sam's, which is just near downtown Disney, it's not outside the park, but it's in between like three of the hotel areas. It is a tiki bar that if you order one of the expensive drinks, like 10, 12 bucks or something like that, one, you get a glass, but they also have little acts they do. So if you buy the volcano, they have a little picture in the background that the volcano explodes. And then if there's a hurricane, when you get, the guy pulls out a spritzing thing and says, oh my God, a hurricane is coming. It's ridiculous. The drinks are really tasty and it's a good atmosphere if you can get inside it. But I don't know how much it'd be good with a little kid. But if you can, Trader Sam's is really cool. And you can buy collectible glasses. I'm being shown the picture of the ice cream nachos. And the only thing that doesn't sell it is that is on a really non-Disney plate. But otherwise, it looks delicious. I want to make that. So, yes. Yeah. If you have your answer to what your favorite food or drink item from Disneyland, Disney World is, please make sure to send it to us. BatHammer@gmail.com. Spark and Zeke on Facebook. BatHammer on
Twitter.
Fuck. I'm sorry. It happens to me all the time. I'm also at CrankCades. If you want to give me your answer there.
I'm at Taro Skippy. I will be posting all of my photos to my personal account, which is Taro Skippy on Instagram.
So, yeah.
So, if you want to see our adventures at Disneyland, there'll be photos on there. They might not be the day of, but they'll be there.
Yeah. I'm looking forward. I hope you guys have fun. I know you guys will have fun.
I mean, I know we're going to have fun. We have so much stuff planned, and we're taking two of our friends with us, so they're going.
You're going to have a good time.
3 days.
Don't die. Like, don't die beforehand. You keep trying to die. Stop this. No, you need to have a good time.
No, I'm not going to die.
I know.
I will never die.
Yeah.
Alright, so ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hang around for our spoiler-filled review of Black Panther, or if you don't, you've been listening to episode 256 of Sprague and Zay Geek. So we're Sprague and Zay Geek, I'm Bat.
I'm Hammer.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.
Alright, so we're going to get to our spoiler-filled review of Black Panther. So it's the origin story of Black Panther, obviously, and it's kind of the origin story of how the Black Panthers came into existence, how Vibranium came into existence.
Explains a bit of their powers, I guess, like their strength, like, yes. You know, that kind of stuff.
None of their weaknesses.
Exactly.
They don't have any weaknesses, but that's okay. And
Not going to say it. I'll tell you later.
Okay. And so this takes place a week after Civil War, and T'Challa has been killed. T'Chaka has been killed. So T'Challa is to take over the reins.
Yeah.
They are four tribes that commune together, and there's an outside tribe that didn't want to be ruled by one king, yeah. So they became their own outside tribe.
So the gorillas, I think.
No, it's the...
Yeah, it's the gorillas.
Was it the gorillas?
Yeah. Chimp, whatever. Yeah, those guys.
No, it was the gorillas because he's the gorilla king. Yeah, okay. And so they have a ceremony to crown T'Challa. The other tribes are like, no, we're totally in. Like, we don't want to fight you. And the gorilla tribe is like, no, we want to fight for this, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, fight. T'Challa becomes the Black Panther, becomes the king, and they learn of Dr. Claw. they learn that Claw is selling their vibranium. They're going to capture him. That was one of the promises that T'Chanka had made to the dude from Cool Runnings.
Oh, Oh, is that where he's from?
He looked kind of familiar.
I was like, oh, it's a dude from Cool Runnings. The rich guy. Was it Sanka? Was Sanka the rich
guy? No. No, I don't think that. I think Sanka is the guy with the egg.
Yeah, Sanka was... Anyway. Blah, blah, blah. Long story short. We get further into the movie. We find out that... At the very beginning, Randall from This Is Us is murdered.
Okay.
He is the king's brother, who's kind of been exiled type of thing.
He was sent to do basically like reconnaissance work, but he got radicalized because he saw all the shit and was like, this is fucking crazy.
He was actually becoming part of the Black Panther Party.
Yeah.
Which, I like how they did that.
Yeah.
And so he was murdered and his...
Do you think it was insinuating that he'd become part of the Black Panther Party or that he started it? I kind of got the idea that he started the movement.
I mean, maybe that he started it.
But I don't know my history exactly, like, timeline-wise when that aligns up, so...
It doesn't feel like it lines up.
Okay.
Because I feel the Black Panther Party was around way before the 90s.
Yeah, probably.
So, when they were showing this, I was thinking it was the riots for Rodney King.
Oh, yeah, because it was not L.A. It was
Oakland in 92, and that's what I was thinking it was, but it was the Black Panther Party, and I was like, that time doesn't mesh for me, because Black Panther was in the, during Vietnam.
Yeah. Did they even call it the Black, like, I know we're getting into the weeds, but I'm like.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
But it's, they might have been in the back, but it's there, and they might have been in the background, but they didn't specifically mention the Black Panther Party. Turns out that T'Challa has a cousin who, through blood, has a right to the throne as well.
Michael B. Jordan, yeah.
Oh, fuck. We're going to delve deeper into Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, I know. I kind of feel like, because I kept on thinking in your head, and like I thought you, I had you in my head while I was watching, I was like, but is Michael B. Jordan... but is Michael...
He... puts in his bid for the crown. He fights T'Challa. He wins.
Yep.
And is basically like, look, blacks have been suppressed for ever, and you had the technology to help them not be suppressed.
The entire time.
We're going to change that.
Yeah.
And it had very political and racial undertones the entire time.
Yeah.
But this is really where it turns into... I don't want to say a racial move, but like it
really mirrors
terms into more of a racial.
It really mirrors a lot of current events.
It does
very heavily, which is what Marvel comics usually did a lot of. They mirror, I mean, especially with like Civil War or shit like that.
Right.
There's a lot of times where they pick pivotal moments where there's a lot of upset stuff like that. So it mirrored that very heavily. What we're seeing.
Well, I mean, the Mutant Registration Act is essentially World War II.
Was it? Because about
if you don't register, you die.
Well, I mean, it was
you're
also,
hunted down. If
which
you're
is why mutant. Magneto was so against it and everything like that, because like, dude, I've seen this.
Right.
I have lived this.
And T'Challa comes in at the end of the day to save the day. And an end credit scene you see is like, hey, they go to the United Nations. They're like, hey, we wanna branch out and no longer be this isolated country.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you have to offer? And he's like,
bitches.
That's the rough summary of the movie.
Yeah.
I know it's not fully in depth, but... like I said in the spoiler-free review, I really like this movie. I think this is probably, and I'd have to really, probably their best origin movie since Iron Man.
Okay.
Because I didn't like Cap 1.
Yeah.
Thor was okay. Mm-hmm. But like you said with Thor, it was like, well, just don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
You don't have to knock it out of the park. You just don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
I really like Guardians. So maybe I need to go back and watch the first Guardians again, but I'm afraid with my
knowledge recent... of the second one?
Well, the second one, Star Wars, like I might be Guardians'd out already.
Yeah.
And
Solo.
I liked Doctor Strange. I really liked Ant-Man.
But... like you're trying to think of all the origin stories.
Well, right. But like I really liked this one. And what I liked was it was a Marvel movie, but it was so different. It didn't feel, while there was comedy, I wasn't bashed over the fucking head with one-liners every two or three sentences.
It was actually a lot more sparsed out.
It felt more genuine, where there are times where when you're with your boys or whatever, if there's a stressful moment, somebody might make a joke, but you're not making jokes the entire time because you understand the severity of the situation. Chadwick Boseman's awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, he's fucking awesome. He's got a lot of charisma, and especially when he's T'Challa and not Black Panther.
Yeah.
Like, I really like T'Challa more than Black Panther, oddly enough.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
His sister, which I can't think of her name right now, was... She was the comic relief, but it wasn't, again, that...
Over the head.
Michael B. Jordan is awesome. I love that dude, but... I think they still have a Marvel villain problem, because they fucking killed him. Now, I know they can bring him back, like, in flashbacks, because he did drink the flower, so he can be in the plane or whatever, but...
Essentially the Jedi Force. Yeah, or the Force, yeah.
Same. I was... What else did that... I didn't like that his suit was 3D printed.
3D printed? What do you mean?
Well, it was in his necklace.
Oh, the idea that it just and basically it just, turned like, into, appeared, like... Yeah.
And I'm like... But that's just a me thing. Yeah. I think everybody else is really going to like that. I, myself...
It made the transitions a lot easier, and for him not have to do the phone booth idea.
Right.
Which essentially just gave a cutout for the movie of saying, hey, we don't have to explain this. This is our explanation. Now enjoy.
Right. And, you know, he can take his bucket off without taking his bucket off. And
exactly.
So I get it. It's fine. I didn't. It's a personal thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fine.
There were, and you talked about it, there were parts that were too dark, especially there's that first fight in the jungle. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
This is really, and I understand that's Boom. Part of the mystique, is it's supposed to be dark, because, you know, he's Black Panther, and he hits from the shadows, and blah, blah, blah. So I get all of that, but it was, as a movie watcher, it's tough.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a me thing, or if this is... the way directors are going, I really don't like the close-up fights. I wish Ryan Coogler had pulled back and shown me the battle.
We've talked about this before, though, in many, many movies. Yeah. Any Star Wars one. My biggest thing is, like, there's good fights. You have good, like, actors. You have good, like, stunt people as well. Show their fucking talents.
Yeah.
Step back a moment. Take a look. Don't do quick cuts, because quick cuts to me are sloppy, and they're misguiding, and it's very easy to get disoriented as a moviegoer, and that's... Again, that's the point that I mentioned earlier, but about the dark points is literally that first fight. And there's quite a few other parts where, just in general, the movie is gorgeous. Just, I love the whole set design. Whoever had fun with all of the damn costumes, good fucking Lord. It is gorgeous.
I wonder if, I want to say, like, the extras or the dude that had the thing in his lip, like... Are they actual Africans, or were they actors that were in LA that they put, like...
They fit the part, or were they actually people from there?
Right.
I don't really know. I mean, I just, again, I love the beauty of this movie, but I feel like those dark scenes do an extreme disservice, especially when the first bit of the movie is supposed to get you into that, and you see a little bit of the conversation between T'Chaka and his brother and stuff like that, but it's so dark, it's hard to see the details, and I'm losing out on it. And I know that you're trying to convey a dark sense, or just, in general, the mood of the movie, but I lost a lot of those points, and I feel like it's almost one of those, I want that part of the movie back, because I would like to watch it again, but literally, I want to watch it at home so I can turn the shit up on my contrast, or the brightness, and be like, oh, I can see what happens now. That was actually a huge detraction for me. Again, as I said, I was okay with this movie, but I had... There's a lot of things that pulled me out of it, and that kind of upset me a bit, is that I'm whelmed. It wasn't great, wasn't bad, but I tried to go in with no expectations. I was excited that they were doing Black Panther, because all my time, I never thought they'd fucking be able to do this, so I'm happy. I'm happy that is, but I will... I will say that there's quite a few of those things that kind of took into it. Like, again, I really love the actors. I love the set design. I love how, as an origin movie, they've kind of at least evolved themselves a bit. It's still, it's an origin movie, knowing that. That aside, I think they've evolved a bit more to make it flesh out a bit more. They don't hammer so much and just give you, like, let's put all the origin stuff in the beginning and do a little Quentin Tarantino-esque. They did very little of it then, and they just said, hey, this is a stream of conscious movie. You're going to see literally more natural things. Mm-hmm. I love, like you mentioned, with his sister. I thought that was actually, there was good sibling rivalry right there. I actually kind of felt that, and I liked it. Michael B. Jordan was a huge miss for me. I love the dude, and I love him as an actor. But I don't know if I agreed with the acting choices and stuff like that. As I understand, they're saying he grew up, they're trying to do contrast to the way he talked, mm-hmm. like his slang and real like that was more him from the streets kind of thing, and him being raised in America and stuff like that. But it almost felt comedic in a way to me when I was watching it. It tossed me out of it, especially in contrast to like T'Challa and stuff like
that.
And again, you're right. They have a huge villain problem. I would have liked to see him maintain and say, hey, kill me. He's like, no, I'm not gonna let you die. Like, I would just like, I felt like that would have been a better choice, but
they do put him in prison, so he's even more pissed off when he escapes.
But essentially what you have here is you have Thor in Africa, because it's the same thing as like with Thor, like you had with, like, again, don't fuck it up is kind of the way I approach this, is that you have to introduce not just a character, not just a backstory, but an entire world. Because Wakanda is not your everyday city. Wakanda is an entire different dimension, quite literally.
Right.
Like, just, you go in there and you're like, holy crap, nothing's the same. Nothing's what you expect.
Well, I do like how it, and I know that there's racial components to this movie.
Yes, yeah.
So I do like how, depending on how you want to look at it, Wakanda can be almost like an anti-Trump statement.
Yeah.
And we try not to get too big into politics. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that the current administration wants to do is put a wall up.
Exactly.
And Wakanda has done that. So Wakanda sees themselves as this beacon of good, where once, now that everybody else is out, they're going to be like, well, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you let World War I happen? World War II happen? You've let all of these things happen?
That's the thing, is that...
And that's when Michael B. Jordan came around, he's like, the fuck have you been doing? Like,
yeah,
there were people coming here, taking our people and just leaving, and you were like, eh.
I like, there are a few scenes with Michael B. Jordan that, again, the dude, there is like the one points where he was trying to make is like, you know, when the other people jumped off the boat,
because, when he's Eric and not Warmonger.
Yes. And I was like, he's heartfelt to the point where I'm like, holy shit. Like, again, it brings up the good contrast that also in this movie, Wakanda and the King are literally painted as they can be good and bad at the same time. There is no 100%. There's no black and white. There's literally all the shades of gray. But it talks about the idea that, it comes with Chadwick Boseman, like, coming to the terms that his father is not always a good person. He made bad choices. He's like, I would have brought the boy home. He's like, you left him there. Right. Why? It talks about the idea of, like, there's going to be consequences, because you realize that all the points you talk about, you let all these things happen, is that they're also going to have to come to terms that as Black Panther is coming out saying, hey, look, this is our nation. This is what we do. Also, this is all the shit we pulled. Because they did a bunch of black ops. They did a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
They did a whole bunch of other crap that they're going to have to come to terms with, which is essentially, in a way, it's kind of, it takes some of my, the interesting.
It's the greater good mentality, but yeah, I mean, it does set up an interesting turn for Black Panther 2 of Wakanda can be the villains.
Yeah.
While also being the heroes.
And they're going to have a lot of, because they're almost in a weird way, to you mentioned about like the walls up. It's kind of taking the Hermit Kingdom of North Korea, taking that idea, because that's what I kind of thought. I kept on thinking it was like the Hermit Kingdom, very, very closed off. Taking that, but almost applying kind of like the American ideals to it as well. It's very interesting. And I thought it did a good job of approaching a lot of political aspects, a lot of racial aspects, a lot of social aspects that we have going on right now. I had fun with it. Like,
it didn't beat you over the head with it. But it was very much there, yeah. But it... Yeah, it didn't just beat you over the head with it.
And I think, again, like, a lot of things... Suit didn't bug me as much. Like, I know you brought it up.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's a personal thing.
Yeah, I love the actors. The people that are in there are really good. The only thing I had issues sometimes with Michael B. Jordan, and I think it's because of his accent thing that he chose for it. Again, very much from the streets thing, which just, it didn't jive with me as well, I guess. And it felt like really, really stark contrast, which is, I know, the goal. The goal was to be a stark contrast to what T'Challa was. I cannot wait for Black Panther 2.
But they were both fighting with their shirts off, and I'm like, oh, you fuckers. Damn, like, they're both, like... specimens, and I'm just like, you suckers. Bitch.
But yeah, again, the same way I look at it, well, I'm Thor 1. I like Thor. And I look forward to Thor 2. Mind you, we're weird. We need to watch it again. But
apparently we do.
But I cannot wait for Black Panther 2, because now all the setup's done. And now we can just have fun with these characters and how they... The fact that Black Panther and Wakanda exist changes the way the entire world works. And right. I can't wait to see... Knowing that it's obviously going to take a big pact on Infinity War, I can't wait to see how that impacts the rest of the world. Because that's... They're saying, by the way, there's a techno capital in the middle of Nigeria. Also, they've been like that for longer than we can imagine. Oh, they have flying spaceships and stuff. And, yeah. Also, they have Batman, essentially.
But pretty much.
Again, I have a lot of issues with the movie, but it was more of just... I walked out of the movie, and normally, if it's just me, I can kind of, like, set my mood, but for some reason, I couldn't... I left it very whelmed.
I know Sarah left it very whelmed, too. And you know, one thing I told her is we're seeing the same...
Yes.
I mean, we really are reaching the crescendo, because if you... 80s action movies was boom, 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 boom. And eventually they died.
Yeah.
Because they just collapsed under their own weight. We are seeing that. You're going to have fatigue.
Three Marvel movies alone. Just not as a three Marvel
in May.
Produced movies.
In May. Three in May.
Wait, three in May? What's in May?
There's Deadpool.
Yeah.
There's Infinity War.
Oh god, right.
And there's Solo. I know Solo's fucking Guardians of the Galaxy 3 without the music.
And then we have Ant-Man.
Three in and later Ant-Man. And then Dark Phoenix is later this year.
Oh my god. Again, you're right. It's a big overload thing.
So if you just do comic book, there's six this year. Because yeah. Aquaman is also... So like...
I don't know about that one, but yeah.
Exactly. But like, we're getting to a point where... And they're all essentially the same.
Yeah. I mean,
this is different from Marvel, and I did like that, because it wasn't a laugh a minute.
It was different in some ways, but it was very much more of the same in other ways.
Yes. Again,
you're getting an origin story. Mm-hmm. You're getting a lot of the color by numbers kind of thing. It's like, hey, da-da-da-da, here we go. But again, I did like the idea
superheroes
of
superheroes are the same.
Yeah.
The powers are different, but they're the same.
But I liked how it approached, like, the different social aspects. I like the idea that, you're right, I actually noticed the lack of jokes going, like... I haven't laughed in a while. Okay. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. And again, I could listen to Chadwick Boseman, right?
Yes.
I could listen to that guy talk and just narrate a cereal box for me.
Dude,
Got an amazing
I'm going
to
have a Wakandan accent for like 2 days.
Oh, wish. Oh my god. But yeah, not spoiler scenes, but I mean, really, I'm just trying to think of the after credit scene was just, again, there was really nothing
to it. Both of them were meh.
Yeah. Their one is just showing, he's like, and by the way,
Bucky's healed.
And Bucky
And he's going to be White Wolf now.
Cool.
But his mental problems are done. So now, again, you have zero Marvel villains. Half if you count Loki.
That's what I actually kind of wanted. Michael B. Jordan come back and be alive, because I'm like, he could be Loki. It'd be great.
I mean, kind of, but like...
Also, I mean, really...
I really don't want them to keep killing their villains, but, I mean, DC's doing the same thing. They're killing their villains, and it's like, I guess we're just going to keep killing our villains.
Yeah, like, again, I liked Michael B. Jordan's character because at least he had a good reason for it. I liked his idea, and if you think about it, essentially, he's the reason that, you know, Black Panther actually did the things he did is because he's like, you have a point. Terrible execution, right. But you have a point.
Right.
All in all, again, I have this. I also know that movie is going to make bank.
Mm-hmm.
Considering we tried to go see it at night and it was sold out. so freaking much, which I'm glad because.
But I'm going to have to talk you into Arrowhead from now on.
Oh, yeah. No, it's funny because you have not seen the new Harkins kind of layout. That's the new Harkins layout.
Oh, my God.
They're converting most of them to be that
There was so much room in the aisle.
Wasn't it grand?
Oh, I mean, somebody still hit Sarah's seat because, you know, people don't know how to fucking walk. Oh, it was so awesome.
The best part is we can also buy our tickets in advance.
I know.
And choose our seats.
I know. Like, everything is so awesome. All right, so
awesome.
I say see it.
I mean, I say it's a Marvel movie.
It's a Marvel movie, right.
Go see it. I will say go in, mind you've heard this, but go in with lowered expectations. Realize it's an origin movie. And again, you've probably seen this movie before, but probably now with better actors.
Wow.
As in, this is a better, these are better actors. Yeah. Now the way around. But yeah, go see it. It's a Marvel movie.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been our spoiler-filled review of Black Panther. As always, you can find the podcast every Monday morning.
As long as he doesn't die.
Oh, my God.
You got Disney, man. You got to get healthy. All right. So, again, every Monday morning, unless I forget to post it entirely like I did last week, that was all on me, boys. I'm sorry, and girls. By the way, those who did ask that, you know, where it was, thank you. We appreciate it. Also, make sure to like us, love us, and share us. We're on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. And, you know, leave us a little comment here and there. It'd be great.
Goodness gracious. All right.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm just tired.
Dude.